In 1995, Disney produced an animated movie called Toy Story, and it was an instant success. It earned over $373 million in its first weekend, and the two of the main characters are the characters you see on the screen, Buzz Lightyear and Woody. Now, Woody is a cowboy toy, and Buzz Lightyear is a toy astronaut. And in one of the scenes, Woody explains to Buzz Lightyear that he's not really a space ranger and he can't really fly. He's just a simple little toy. He says this to Buzz Lightyear: "You're not a space ranger. You're just an action figure, a child's plaything." Well, Buzz Lightyear doesn't believe it. He knows he can fly. He knows he is a space ranger. So what does he do? He climbs to the second floor in the house, climbs up on top of the handrail. He stands up there, spreads out his wings and his arms. He says, "To infinity and beyond," and he jumps. And what happens? He crashes to the floor and loses an arm. And he sits up as he's sitting there on the floor, and he's depressed and he's sad. And he says to himself, "I'm nothing but a stupid, insignificant little toy." Well, Woody loves his friend, and so Woody decides he's going to cheer him up and try to comfort him. And so he says this. He says, "Look out that window. Look at that house over there." He says this: "There's a kid who thinks you are the greatest. And it's not because you're a space ranger. It's because you are his space ranger. You belong to him. Look, Buzz Lightyear, look at the bottom of your boot. Andy's name is there because you belong to him." And so he looks at the bottom of his boot, and what does he see? In permanent black ink, he sees the word Andy. And as he looks at that, he realizes that it doesn't matter whether he can fly or not. It doesn't matter if he is a real space ranger or not. A big grin comes on his face, and he says, "All that matters is that I belong to someone who loves me." Now, like Buzz Lightyear, all of us want to belong to something or to someone that is greater than ourselves. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. Let us pray. Oh God, speak to us according to our spiritual needs. And help us to understand what it means to belong to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In our scripture lesson from John 13, it's a very familiar story. We've all read it numerous times. And in that story, Jesus gathers the disciples in the upper room, and they're preparing to celebrate the Passover. They've done it many times. But something different happens on this occasion. Jesus takes off his tunic, he wraps himself with a towel, he takes a bowl of water, and he kneels down before the disciples, and he begins to wash their dirty feet. And those feet were quite dirty. He gets up to Peter, and Peter protests. He said, "Lord, you're not going to wash my feet," as if to say, "I need to be washing your feet instead." But then Jesus says something that Peter did not expect. He says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you cannot belong to me." In other words, if I don't cleanse you from all of your sins, you cannot be a part of me. Well, Peter then immediately blurts out and he says, well, "Lord, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head, my whole body, because I want to belong to you and be wherever you're going to be." Now, most of the time when we read this story, we think about Jesus washing the feet of the disciples as a symbolic act of service and love that we are all to follow. And that's true. It is that. It means that. And we are all to put that kind of service into practice. But there is something in this story that is much more profound. In one sense, Jesus is saying that I accept you and I love you and you belong to me. But in another sense, he's saying, but you must be cleansed. You must be made perfect. You must be washed. You must be transformed and changed. Now, that's a little puzzling and confusing to us because it makes us wonder, well, which is it? Are we beloved and accepted? Do we belong to Jesus? Or do we not belong because we haven't been transformed? We must change. We must be washed and cleansed. Which is it? It can't be both. It's confusing. It's a paradox. And actually, we find scattered throughout the pages of the New Testament, Jesus, in all of his ministry and his mission, he put this paradox into practice numerous times. To the disciples, he said, I love you, I accept you, you belong to me, but you must change, you must be transformed, you must deny yourself, give yourselves up, take up your cross, and follow me to where my cross is going. That's not easy to do. To the Samaritan woman that he met at the well, he said, I love you and accept you, even though you've been married 5 different times and have had 5 different husbands, I still love you and accept you, but you must be transformed and changed, and that can only happen by the spring-like waters that I give. And then to the rich young ruler, Jesus said, I love you, I accept you, you belong to me, but you must be transformed, you must change, you must give up the god of money that has a grip on you. What good is it for you to gain the entire world and forfeit your very soul? Now, this is an example of the kind of paradox and paradoxes that we see scattered throughout the New Testament. And it looks like a troubling thing, but it's a good thing. This is the kind of paradox that actually becomes good news for all of us. Now, I'm sure that most of you have heard the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer before. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was one of the greatest theologians of the 20th century. He lived in Germany. He was a brilliant scholar. He got involved in the resistance against Hitler and the Nazis, and he was discovered, and he was captured, and he was imprisoned by the Gestapo. And life was hard in a German prison. For 2 years he stayed there. He was imprisoned on April the 5th, 1943. And during that time, he struggled with his thoughts and his feelings and what was going to happen to him and how he was doing and where was Christ, where was God, and where was he supposed to be in all of that. On April the 9th, 1945, just 2 weeks before the Americans liberated his prison camp, his life was taken by the Gestapo, by the Nazis. And a few weeks before that, he wrote a poem describing his struggle, and I want to read the poem. It's quite profound as well. This is what Bonhoeffer wrote. Who am I? They often tell me. I step from my cell's confinement calmly, cheerfully, firmly, like a squire from his country house. Who am I? They often tell me. I used to speak of my warders freely and friendly and clearly as though it were mine to command. Who am I? They also tell me I bore the days of misfortune equably, smilingly, proudly, like one accustomed to win. Am I then really all that which other men tell of? Or am I only what I myself know of myself? Restless, longing, sick like a bird in a cage, struggling for breath as though hands were compressing around my throat, yearning for colors and for flowers and for voices of birds, thirsting for words of kindness, for neighborliness, tossing in expectation of great events, powerlessly trembling for friends at an infinite distance, weary and empty at praying and thinking, at making faint and ready to say farewell to it all. Who am I? This or the other? Am I one person today and tomorrow another? Am I both at once, a hypocrite before others, and before myself a contemptibly woebegone weakling? Or is something within me still like a beaten army, fleeing in disorder from victory already achieved? Who am I? They mock me, these lonely questions of mine. Whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, that I am thine. Now, in this poem, Bonhoeffer gives us the solution to the paradoxes of life. Whoever I am, he wrote, thou knowest, O God, that I am thine. That's the solution. We belong to God. That's good news, even though it's a paradox. But there's more good news. In our New Testament lesson from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we find these words from the Apostle Paul. He said, anyone who belongs, some translations say in Christ, this one says belongs to Christ, has become a new person. The old life has gone and the new life has begun. To belong to Christ means that the Spirit of Christ so permeates us that it transforms us from the inside out and makes us new. We don't make ourselves new. Christ makes us new from the inside out. Now, we will still continue to have sin in our lives. We will still continue to have problems in our world. We will still be weak oftentimes, but through Christ and through what he has done, we can become completely new, a new creation. Unfortunately, some people are not willing to be transformed or to be changed. They want to stay with their old ways of living and their old routines and their own lifestyles. In HuffingtonPost.com, there is a blog that was written by a Reverend William Flippin Jr., and he described our condition in a very interesting way. He says this, the last thing that some people want from their religious experience is disruption and challenge. What many really want is a jacuzzi Jesus. An experience that will leave them relaxed and warm and all bubbly, but nothing has really changed. And then he quotes an unknown author who wrote the following, and you may have heard this before. I would like to buy only $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a foreigner or pick fruit with a migrant farm worker. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, but not a new birth. I would like to buy just $3 worth of God, please. When we belong to Christ, we become new in Christ. We are transformed by Christ, and our lives change. We find ourselves breaking out of this jacuzzi Jesus syndrome. And we find ourselves turning the other cheek and going the extra mile and doing what no one else wants to do and loving our enemies and all sorts of other things that Jesus did. Because the new creation that's within us compels us to do such things. Have any of you ever heard the names Jace Crowder or Trayshawn Willis? Jace is the little fellow on the right, and Trayshawn is the 6'3" fellow on the left. Jace is was taken a year and a half ago. He was five at the time, and as you can see, both of them are missing their right arms. Little Jace was teased and tormented by his classmates in his kindergarten. And he became very angry with God and asked his mother, "Why did God make me like this? I don't like this. I don't like being teased." And his mother really didn't know what to do. She was heartbroken, but somehow she stumbled upon this other character, Trayshawn Willis, because she discovered him in the news. He is one of the only individuals that can dunk a basketball with just one arm. And he was on many of the local news channels showing video of him making a jump and actually slam dunking the basketball. Well, both of these young men were born with what's called amniotic band syndrome in the womb. It's where some fibers from the amniotic fluid somehow wrap around the arm and they choke it off and they cause it to stop growing, and it stunts the growth of that arm. It stops it at the elbow. Well, Trayshawn has accepted his situation. He has a tremendous faith in Christ, a tremendous commitment to Christ, and he's very involved in his church. And he has decided that God has made him to be a perfect person just as he is, and he is not going to be hindered or handicapped in any way. So not only is he a star basketball player who averages 15 points a game, but he is the starting quarterback of their football team. And you can pull up video showing him running through the line, making touchdowns, throwing passes, doing all sorts of things. So he got together with little Jace, and he taught him how to shoot a basketball, and he taught him about Jesus and about how to accept himself. And he told him, he said, "God did not make you in an imperfect way. You are made to be absolutely perfect according to God's goodness and grace and love. You belong to Christ. You belong to God just as you are." And as you can see the smile on little Jace's face, that smile continues today. His life was changed because he now understands that he belongs to Jesus. Well, Buzz Lightyear came to understand that he belonged to Andy. Dietrich Bonhoeffer realized that whoever I am, thou knowest, O God, that I am thine. And little five-year-old Jace Crowder came to believe that he was very special and that God made him perfectly just as he is, and that he belongs to Jesus. What about you? Do you feel that you belong to Jesus? Do you feel that you've been made perfectly, and that God loves you dearly, and that you are his special child? He is calling all of us to believe that we belong, to believe that we can make a difference, to believe that we are part of the family of God. Well, it is a paradox, because we will continue to have sin in our lives even though we've been turned into, transformed into a new creation. And God can use us and will use us to make a difference in this world for Him. So even though it's a paradox, let's say thanks be to God. Let's reaffirm and affirm our faith in Jesus as our Savior and Lord. And let us know that through Jesus Christ our sins are forgiven and that we belong to Him. Our old lives have gone, and our new lives in Christ have just begun.